Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Beating up Italian women. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, did you see the actual woman get beat up by a man at the Olympics? No, I'm not talking about the not-so-safe streets of Paris. I'm talking about in an Olympic-sanctioned event. Women's boxing. A woman entered the ring against a dude. Two blows to the head, and she said, "I'm done." To her credit, she didn't give a big hug to the fellow who wanted to embrace her after he just about beat her brains out. The Olympics revealing Romans 1. They are detached from reality. They are so sold out regarding their worldview that they are willing to let women get beat up. But I have a different perspective that I'm not going to offer because I'd get beat up for it. So I'm not going to, I would like to do it, but I'm not going to offer a different perspective. Because if I talked about the question of whether or not women should be boxing in the first place, oh, Jimmy, the emails that we would get here. So I'm not going to raise the question, should women be boxing in the first place? Because Christians understand that femininity is actually defined by three categories. You've got yourself the physical. You've got yourself cultural. You've got yourself biblical. And we would do well to ask the question, is that appropriate for women to be boxing? But I'll leave that up to some other talk show because that would make us sound really stodgy. And I don't know. Protective of women. And that, of course, would be sexist. So we're not going to talk about the fact that biologically, fighting is clearly more appropriate for one of the genders that is physically stronger. Biblically, fighting, that's the dude's role. Culturally, well, up until about a second ago, women were not boxers or rugby players. They were the nurturers, the tender ones, the complementary gender that makes the family so beautiful. And we should be asking the question, is that particular activity appropriate for girls based on those three categories? But we won't do that, Jimmy. We're just going to let somebody else do that talking because...
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, wow. How puritanical would we be if we suggested that maybe boxing and rugby isn't the best idea for women in the first place? I wonder who's going to talk about that. Speaking of the Olympics, did you watch some of the feel-good stories? I did, and whilst this might make me sound like a curmudgeon, well, not just a curmudgeon, but obviously a sexist curmudgeon, but remember, I didn't talk about whether women should be boxing or playing rugby. Somebody else. Nah, nobody's going to do that. I'm pretty certain of it. Nevertheless, good tish, Raiden. The stories that are loaded in the Olympic presentation from NBC, they're terrific. I mean, if you consider the production of what NBC does, it's quite extraordinary. These events, they're a few hours ahead, but by the time you perhaps tune in at 7 or 8 p.m., the stories are edited. We've got the setting overlooking the Eiffel Tower. And we go neatly and tidily from one sport to the next, condensing about a four-hour gymnastics meet into about 20 minutes. I mean, production is amazing, including the stories they tell, typically of an athlete who overcame, who had parents who sacrificed everything so that they could be here. This moment, and I think that we can celebrate those stories, but I was pondering because, after all, I am the official sexist curmudgeon of Wretched Radio. I wonder how helpful those stories are when they aren't filtered by reality in the Bible. I wonder how many kids will think that's the way that life should be. This is going to be my story. I'm going to be just like that one who overcame an illness or a difficulty or financial struggles in order to get a gold medal. Here's a question for you. How many stories did they not show of parents who did get up at 4 a.m. for like 15 years and they didn't even qualify for the states, let alone the nationals, let alone the Olympics? How many of those? You don't see those stories. And whilst I do believe it is nice to see those stories, I'm wondering how powerful stories are in the formation of our young people. That they are watching Netflix shows, they watch YouTube videos, and this commentary has been made 1,000 times, that what we see on social media isn't reality, but it sure feels like it, doesn't it? And you watch these movies, typically happy. And when was the last time you saw a sad ending of a movie? It happens about 1 in 100 times. Everything works out. Oh, it's amazing. The power of the human spirit. Look at what they were able to overcome and accomplish. Why isn't my life like that? How come I'm not singing my national anthem at the Olympics? And I wonder if these stories contribute to a lot of sadness, a lot of frustration, and a lot of unhappiness. Barbie is perhaps a contributor to that. I think it was at a Christian website. Barbie is introducing a bunch of new Barbies. And I think this is accurate. Sorry if I'm not. But there was a Christian website that was mocking that Barbie was introducing Down syndrome Barbie and blind Barbie with a cane. And I thought, why is that bad? What's wrong? I mean, there are people with Down syndrome and there are people who can't see. That didn't trouble me. I don't think that was necessarily political correctness, especially with the Down syndrome Barbie, because most Down syndrome kids don't get to see the light of day. But this Barbie offering does make me wonder, are we perhaps helping our kids understand this isn't necessarily what life looks like in real world? Here's the headline. Barbie launches Dream Besties doll with big girl boss goals. This is USA Today. Dream Besties encourages kids to embrace their individuality and share their unique talents with the world. In other words, let the you in you roar. From cooking to choreography to cosmetology and more. Let me introduce you to Malibu Barbie. Her name is, she's from Wisconsin. Why would she be a Malibu Barbie? Oh, she moved to California. So she's Barbie Malibu Roberts. She's a spirited teen who earned her nickname after moving to California at age 8. That wasn't a good move, parents. Wisconsin's a lovely place to raise a family. With pressing powders, contour and lipstick in hand, this Malibu Barbie plans to become the CEO of her own makeup brand. Yeah! Girl power! She's going to be a CEO! No, nothing wrong with that. But what ideal, what standard are we setting up for young girls? Barbie Brooklyn Roberts is a dynamic teenager who freely expresses herself through dance. In the future, the Brooklyn Barbie plans to become a choreographer with the help of her other hobbies of video editing and creative writing. Yeah, that's my world. I can do that's what my life should be like. And when it's not, I wonder how much disappointment this produces. She embodies self-love, self-recognition, encouraging others to embrace who they are. No agenda there, Mattel. Then you got yourself another Malibu Barbie. She's Renee Chow. She's a vibrant teenager who dreams of hosting a food and travel show. Kicking off her dream with her food vlog called Skate, the channel combines her love of food and skateboarding with humor and authenticity with her slogan, What's Cookin'? She uses her platform to promote trying something new and is inseparable from her pet guinea pig, Pancake. What world? Do these stories ever get written? They do. But they're the exception, and incidentally, they never show the difficulty, the struggle, the giftedness, the sacrifice that goes into it. And I think that our kids are made to feel like, oh, My life is kind of a drag, and maybe, just maybe, that is why this headline appears hot off the press. Suicide among kids 8 to 12 are rising, especially among girls. Every year it's going up 8%. Suicide is the fifth leading cause of death among both male and female preteens. Can I blame Barbie? No. But I wonder, how many kids feel disappointed with life, even at an early age, because their life isn't like what they've been seeing in a phone that's been put before them since they were in a high chair? Preteen boys still more likely to die by suicide compared to girls, with almost double the number of deaths. In other words, it's a big thing. It's a big deal, suicide with the kids. And I can't tell you that by eliminating Barbie dolls or stories from the Olympics that that will go away. But I do think every parent should ask the question, are my kids getting influenced by these oh-so-subtle stories, by these oh-so-subtle portrayals of reality? Do you take the Barbie away? Do you not let them watch the stories? That's up to you, Mom and Dad. But maybe counter them with a dose of biblical reality? This is Wretched Radio.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
So, you're not convinced of the importance of training men to rightly divide the word of truth and fill pulpits internationally? Fine. Then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
It is so important, not just important, it's absolutely essential to have a trained expositor of the scripture in every church. When we read through the book of Acts, we can see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, advances as the word of God advances.
Would you please consider joining the Master's Academy International in filling empty pulpits with men who can exposit the scriptures and advance the kingdom of God? It's a magnificent ministry with a generational impact. Please learn more about supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor for the Master's Academy International. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Stories are powerful. This is Wretched Radio, the power of story. It is undeniable. In fact, it is actually biblical because there's a lot of stories in the Bible. God could have given us a handbook. Do this, don't do that, wash your hands, make your bed in the morning, talk like this, walk like this, but he didn't, did he? Instead, he gave us a lot of stories. Are there didactics in those stories? Absolutely. Are there books that are dedicated to teaching? Absolutely. But consider the number of stories. Consider the stories that Jesus told. Jesus told a lot of stories. We call them parables. Why? They're vivid. And they help people to understand. And they make a truth very memorable. There is power in story. And that is why we got to be careful what sort of stories we consume. Have you seen any one of these rom-coms where the glamorous couple started fighting in the beginning, but then through a friend and circumstances, they end up on a boat outside of Malibu while watching the sunset? Oh, it's amazing. And what does it do? Perhaps it gets into our eyes and the eyes of our children saying, this is what life should be like. Jimmy, you thought there was perhaps another perspective on this story business regarding young people.
Yeah, I think young people are seeing radical transformations, whether it be in their friends or people in their lives or in their church, testimonies of how people come to Christ. They overcome drug abuse or something else.
Powerful stories.
Right, powerful story. And you look at that and you think, I've got to have that same type of testimony.
In order to qualify.
Right, correct.
Yeah, that is why. My encouragement in this is to be mindful of that, that if your kid is in church, somebody's getting baptized. I'm super excited. We're going to be doing some baptisms soon at alpharettabiblechurch.org. And we will hear testimonies from people who were saved. And every testimony is spectacular. Every single testimony is outstanding if we consider perspective. Sometimes a testimony, it can be all about the person. I was in the gutter. I was doing drugs. I was in the sex trade industry. But then I came across a copy of What Time is Purple? And I read the gospel and I got saved. And here I am. And now I'm going to become a YouTube pastor. And we all go, whoa, that's an amazing transformation. But that's from the human perspective. And there are going to be people who don't have those amazing details. Are their testimonies any less spectacular? And the answer is no. You've got to change the perspective to what God has done in taking a dead person and making them spiritually alive, granting them repentance and faith. Instead of destroying each and every one of us, he offered terms of peace through his son, Jesus Christ. By the power of his Holy Spirit and the proclamation of his word, he regenerates dead people and brings them to life and then helps them to live a life of abundance. In other words, transcendence, higher things, more glorious things, and then to inherit eternal life. Wow! That testimony is amazing! Even if the dude is like, well, started out when I was about four and I took a marshmallow from my two-year-old sibling, and things just progressed from bad to worse. When I was at school once, the teacher told us to line up, but I took about a half step to the left, and I didn't keep the line straight. And you go, well, that isn't like, wow, okay, that's not a good testimony. Yes, it is a good testimony. Why? Because God saved a sinner. That's what makes a testimony awesome. It isn't our end of it. It's God's end of it. And if we are going to use the details of how awful your life was, and you can as long as you do it thoughtfully and not in a way to shock, or sometimes I'm afraid I've even seen some testimony stories that almost feel like bragging. Yeah, I had like 20 pounds of crack in my trunk. As if to say, I was the biggest sinner ever, but not in a humble kind of way. We hear these stories and they're great to hear, but they need to be reflected up. Can you imagine the expansive nature of the grace of God for saving a crackhead like me? How awesome is God that he would save a rebellious child who stole marshmallows from his little sister? God is awesome. That's a testimony that I think is helpful to the body, so that the people who maybe don't have the spectacular sins don't feel like, oh, it's got to be that. And if I don't have that, well, then I guess I'm not a Christian. This happens to a lot of PKs. This happens to a lot of kids who grow up in the church. They feel like, well, I wasn't a horrible kid. Well, actually, you were. And it starts with not knowing that you were a horrible kid. That makes you a horrible kid. But we want to be careful, even with these stories that are delivered at baptisms, to realize, okay, what's the lesson being taught here? What's the message that is being sent here? Because stories are powerful, and we have to discern even Christian testimony stories. The world uses stories all the time to influence kids. And I got to tell you something, the fruit, it is so rotten. Earlier this week, I believe, we were talking about kids who abandon parents. They ghost them. This was sent to me. This is such a big thing, that kids are ghosting their parents now. It's called rejectedparents.net. It's an estranged adult child help site. Who is this website for? Little help is available for kind, supportive parents whose adult children are estranged. The separation may occur when parents are rejected by adult children, but might also happen when parents set boundaries and adult children don't respect them. So this is a website that is dedicated to those parents because it is so prevalent these days. I don't have a statistic. Talk to some parents in your church. Just ask them. And if they're willing to be transparent and say, yeah, we've got five kids. So apparently they were a homeschool family. So they were a really good Christian family. And X number of our kids, we don't talk to them anymore. You might just be surprised. And I think a part of this, it's not just the general messaging of social media, but through stories. You watch a movie and how kids treat their parents and how they talk about each other. It was the Indian dating show and the two young people talking about their parents. You know, they just live in a bygone era. Idiots. They don't know anything. And we watch that and we imbibe that. It all gets in. Stories are powerful. Received another email regarding that subject. Thank you for sending this in. Denisha sent this in. This is from The Well-Educated Mind. This is a quote from Thomas Jefferson in a letter to John Adams in 1814. Our post-revolutionary youth are born under happier stars than you and I were. They acquire all learning in their mother's womb and bring it into the world ready-made. That's sarcasm. The information of books is no longer necessary, and all knowledge which is not innate is in contempt or neglect, at least. This is something that is built into the fabric of our children, that they know everything. It gets somehow, the fertilizer gets poured on in their teenage years. So this isn't something new. Solomon knew of this, didn't he? Son, don't be dumb. Listen to me. Gain wisdom. Listen to your parents. This is nothing new. Children thinking they know more than parents, but I do believe because of social media, it is intensified today. At least there were some cultural pressures. There were still some cultural curbs that kept kids from running away from home and ghosting their parents. And the pressure of society kept that lid on. That lid is off. And more kids are just running away from home. And they're ghosting their good parents. Is this like the biggest thing in the world to filter stories that your kids see? No, it's not the single biggest thing. So let me make a broader application, if I might. Everything that goes into our kids' ears and eyes, we need to be thinking about what it is teaching them, because it is teaching them. It is telling them something. Disney movies, believe me, they're telling them something. By the way, Jimmy, oh man, how much did you love that Deadpool?
Oh. I heard that it had the
the F-bomb a lot. I didn't see it, but I heard it was up there.
Leonardo DiCaprio would be proud of the F-bomb. I thought there was some sort of sacrilege, too, where I don't know anything about it. It's Hugh Jackman. He looks like a wolf or something. And he was, like, in trouble, but it looked like he was being crucified.
Oh.
So, you know, kids see it. Mockery, denigration of the faith. And we just need to be on the walls of our kids' minds, keeping guard. Because stories get everything, gets every TikTok video that, why can't I do a triple flip on my skateboard with tattoos that are, my parents are terrible. Stories are powerful. Everything that gets into our kids' minds, it can persuade them. We are called to be their filter. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are we going to? Yeah. Yeah. This is Wretched Radio. What gets in our heads, it actually informs us. It molds us. It shapes us. It causes us to think this is the way the world ought to be. That can happen through stories. I don't care if it's a VeggieTale story, where our kids, of course, learn that God sent a piece of asparagus to go preach to a bunch of pagans in Nineveh. That gets in there. It also gets in there when they see romances. Oh, that's what it's like. And it also gets in there when they hear the tales of marital woe. Why aren't our young people getting married? What has changed? Even nature attests to the fact that human beings are a boy and a girl are made for each other. That is about as basic of a natural law as you are going to get. Even the animals understand that they get together with the opposite gender for a number of reasons. Sometimes it is for safety. It is for companionship. Animals can enjoy the company of another bird. But it's also for procreation. And suddenly we have a generation that is saying, no thanks, not interested. By the way, speaking of animals, got it right here. You would think this program were organized. And no, we wouldn't, Friel. Chimpanzees take turns in fast-paced conversations just like humans do. SmithsonianMag.com, another effort to elevate animals to the level of humans. Because, they do something that's kind of similar. See, we're all basically animals anyway. The effort is relentless these days. When humans have, I'm thinking about Ken Ham right now. I think in his book, Will They Last? I think is what it's sitting on our coffee table at home. Will They Last? And then Jimmy, would you look up Ken Ham books? He had one about kids and the falling away rate and what it is that they're learning. And one of his observations, it's not unique to Ken Ham, is that kids are basically told they're monkeys in school. That gets in there. They believe it. They're no different. We're just like Zippy the chimp. You got that book from Ken Ham?
I'm working on it.
All righty. When humans have conversations, we take turns speaking, sometimes even interrupting each other. Oh, that's pretty toxic these days. Now a study published in Current Biology reports chimpanzees follow a similar communication pattern structured around back and forth, fast-paced turns, albeit with gestures rather than speaking. Well, that would be a pretty important albeit. So they do gestures. We talk. We actually have words, grammar, dictionaries. We have shadings of words. Okay, this morning, yes, I have this much free time. I was thinking about the difference between funny and silly. That something can just be silly, kind of like Robin Williams. Wasn't funny. It was just silly. And then I started thinking about how words capture nuances and perspectives and shadings of something similar, but not exactly the same. It's amazing. Communication is astounding. And chimpanzees make gestures and pick bugs off of one another. It isn't the same. Okay, so there are some patterns that look kind of like the sort of the same. So, aha, see, we got it there. I'm sorry to mock this, but it is mock-worthy. Chimpanzee gestures are largely meant to convey requests. Groom me, follow me, give me, or stop it being common. The researchers witnessed a variety of gestured interactions. So this is all observational science. That's what we got going on here. Such as chimps asking to change spots during grooming sessions. Once, a chimp named Ursus, by the way, monkeys actually don't have names for one another, and they don't have their name embroidered and put onto a pillow that goes into their nursery, because they don't do those things. Ursus gave a reassuring tap to a chimp named Monica when she reached her hand out after a quarrel. In another instance, a male chimp repeatedly made go-away gestures as a female asked for some meat from an antelope he had killed. I guess we're just identical, aren't we? That is exactly what they are gunning for here. Here's how the study went down. Sorry, this is Smithsonian. That name used to have some cachet. To explore patterns, the team of scientists collected footage of 8,500 gestures from 252 individuals in five chimp communities in Eastern Africa, assembling the largest data set of chimpanzee conversations ever made. Okay, with verses. Okay, it's with words. That's what a conversation is. They're doing hand gestures. It's not a conversation. You could call it a rather primitive form of communication, but that doesn't mean that they're the same as people are. They found that 14% of the interactions included at least one response to a gesture. Well, Jimmy, 14%, at least one response to a gesture, while some included as many as seven back and forth responses. The discovery of this quick-paced turn-taking is significant, because it indicates chimpanzees communicate with intention and meaning, comma, just like humans do. You think I'm exaggerating about the goal? The parallel suggests deep evolutionary similarities with humans in how face-to-face conversations are structured. Tell you what, the day that a monkey doesn't pick a bug off of another monkey, let's talk. Till then, we're not the same. You got that book from Ken Ham?
I do.
What's it called?
Already Gone.
That's the one right there. The statistics might be a little dated, but the point is the same. Our kids are getting shellacked. Public education contributes to it. Social media contributes to it. Even some of the stuff that we probably don't think is too terrible, that we watch maybe with them, it's getting in there. And one of the messages that is being sent is, don't get married. It's dangerous. Virgil Walker. I haven't talked to Virgil in about a year. Had lunch with Virgil. He's a gentleman. I like Virgil. And he's dapper. Virgil's a dapper kind of fellow. Five reasons why men should marry. This is from Virgil Walker. Number one, fulfilling God's design for companionship. You maybe are one of the men who's gun shy about getting married. I hope that this will encourage you, because you're going to see a thread through these five different reasons that you should rush to marriage. Now, this is written for men, but it also applies to women. These things are bigger. These things are loftier. These things are more important. And you say, but I don't understand that. I don't get it. Well, fulfilling God's design for companionship. God designed you for that. So what he made you, he like put it all together for that purpose, so that you can get together with somebody of the opposite gender and make little image bears and experience all the joys and all the heartaches that brings. That's what he made you for. And when you do it, you are participating in what God has designed you for. That's bigger. And you say, well, I don't feel that. You will if you do it. And by the way, Virgil goes on to say a bunch of health benefits. You make more money, better choices, sense of accountability. All of those things will happen for you in the context of marriage because that is God's plan for people. Now, I know that there are some people who are single. We want to identify that, and I'm not trying to make marriage sound better than single. But the norm that God has created, which also has the component of being a picture of the gospel, is marriage. Number two, sanctification and growth in holiness. This is a fact. You will become more like Jesus Christ when you get married. It is, or you will become, no, you won't become. You will reveal your self-centered, pride-filled internal self because that's what marriage will bring out in you. It will either rub you raw or it will polish you up. Those things, they can only happen in the context of marriage. That is why my encouragement, along with Virgil's, is do something big, do something transcendent. You raise godly offspring. You reflect Christ in the church. I don't feel like I'm reflecting Christ. You are. You're participating in preaching the gospel to the world. You experience joy and fulfillment, the deep stuff. You see those, here's a story. Oh, that old man comes to the nursing home every day. That's profound. That's deep. That's rich. You want those things. And even if you don't understand those things, they're available to you in the context of marriage. So young man, make it snappy. And if you'd really like to accelerate your progress in manhood, hey, look what we got going on. I think this is next week, right after I get back from Fargo for the 3535 conference. If you're near Fargo, check it out. 3535 conference about church theology. It will be awesome. And then we have got an event August 16th and 17th in studio. Dr. John Kratz is going to be delivering 10 lectures, providing a biblical path for men who want to lead well, who want respect, admiration, greater responsibilities, you know, the big stuff. You can register at wretched.org/gentlemen. Dads, bring your sons. wretched.org/gentlemen. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth for tough questions, get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org because, look, winging it only works in bird watching.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Mexico. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to be outraged. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
That beard of yours.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, looks masculine.
Thank you, Todd.
Don't thank me. You need to be outraged.
Okay.
I called you masculine because you got a beard, which is a masculine attribute, and that demands outrage. Let's go to the Olympics again, shall we? To the swimming pool we go. It was the 4x100. Bob Ballard, a British journalist, commented that the women were standing around, you know, putting on makeup like women do. Oh, outrageous, said his female commentator co-host. Outrageous? Okay, maybe out of step with the times, grant you that. Maybe somewhat distracting considering the moment. But outrageous? Are we that sensitive? Oh, yeah, we are. That any sort of observation that women basically act like this and men basically act like that, you're going to get fired. The guy from the BBC got fired for saying that, you know how women, they have a tendency to stand around and put on makeup. Because it's ridiculous for him to say that, despite the fact that women wear like 99.9% of the makeup in this country. Maybe more. That's outrageous. What is that? It's feminism. The blurring of genders. There's no difference. We're all the same. Men and women can get into the boxing ring. It's fine because we're all the same. No, we're not. But that message is being sent to our kids, especially to our sons. Nope, nope, nope. It's not just being sent to our sons. It's being sent to our daughters. Kendra was reading a thing. That's right. Just Google that. I was reading a thing. And it was the statistic, I think, was about 70%, maybe as high as 80% of divorces and breakups are initiated by women. Why? Why is that happening so much? Is it just an overcorrection to the era when men were the only ones who could divorce? I don't think so. Could it be that women also are buying the feminist lie of what a man should be like? And the second he maybe just even in a conversation raises his voice like men do all the time with other men, that he's considered toxic? That that's just not something that a man should do. A man should be soft and smell really pretty. And a man should never do anything that is masculine. That is just feminism gone to seed. I'm telling you, women are infected by it. Men are infected by it. Would point your attention again to Dr. John Krotz. He's going to be in studio here in Wretchedland. That would be Atlanta. If you're nearby, register for 10 events. It is August 12, 16 and 17. Oh boy, I'm going to be coming back from Fargo. And then this conference happens. It's the 3535 conference in Fargo on ecclesiology. I truly encourage you to go. If you're a pastor or an elder, it will challenge you to think more deeply about Church, 3535 Conference. Then on August 6th, that's 12, 13, 14. Then on the 16th through the 17th, John Krotz presents 10 mini lectures providing a biblical path for men who want to lead well. Friday night, Saturday morning, register at wretched.org/gentleman. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers the 10 titles of his lectures. I suspect, as I share these, you might be going, what? What does that have to do with masculinity? And if that's the case, I would really encourage you to come, wretched.org/gentleman. Because this is what will help you to be a godly man, and it will help you to raise a godly man. The world is sending different signals. Also, I might just point your direction to another one of our fellows. John Krotz is going to be one of our fellows. We're going to be launching that in the fall, but so is Dr. Greg Gifford, his Transform podcast, where he delivers his series on masculinity. It is the bomb diggity. I think it's his most popular series, and he's done a lot of great ones. Masculinity, three categories that need to be considered: cultural, biological, and the trump card. Oops, shouldn't use the word card these days. The trump card is the Bible. And that is why these titles probably would cause most people, even inside of the church, to go, what does that have to do with masculinity? So here's the introduction. The need to be men full of the truth and full of grace, like Jesus. And you go, wait, whoa, 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 full of truth and grace. When do we get to kill something? Are we going to blow something up in a forest? Are we going to sit by the fire, precariously positioned next to a cliff where we could all fall and die as we eat the meat of an antelope we strangled this morning? Well, those are all masculine activities, and those things can be fine, but that's not what makes a man a man. You've got to be full of grace and truth. See, these are biblical qualities. These are biblical attributes that were personified, can I use that word, personified by Jesus Christ. He's the model, full of grace and truth. So, starting point, you want to be a godly man, you got to be filled with grace and truth. You say, well, what does that look like? I say register at wretched.org/gentleman. Number two, conviction. In order to lead well, men need to have a strong conviction about the sufficiency and authority of the Bible. If you don't have that, you're rudderless. The winds blow. Okay, I'll go that direction, I guess. You've got to have an authority that you have confidence in. So bibliology, biblical conviction. Number three, responsibility, vital part of leadership. Men need to see themselves as stewards, initiators, decision makers, providers, servants, protectors. Yeah, that's what we're called to. And by the way, that's what we're built for. So even nature speaks that word. We need to listen to it. A man shouldn't be all apologetic for wanting to open the door for a woman, or to jump in front of a bullet for a woman, or to rescue somebody from a fire. We run toward it, not stupid, not foolish, not on some sort of kamikaze mission. But if death is the result of being courageous, well, then that's the result, because that is what we're called to. Number four, devotion. Men must lead their families in worship toward greater involvement and lead them in the direction of greater involvement in a healthy church. We are going tomorrow, we're going to be releasing a YouTube video for the YouTube machine, Russell Brandt, an encouragement to him. By the way, have you heard Russell Brandt again? I think you got that in here, don't you, Jimmy?
I do, yes.
This kid, you don't want to be premature with your proclamations that somebody done got saved, but I'm just telling you, even not perfect, but this guy, he's talking more evangelical-like, frankly, than most evangelical pastors. Here's his latest.
There are times when I've told you that I felt far from Christ. This is a verse that brought me back into connection with our Lord. It's from Isaiah. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine.
Our Lord.
Wow.
My feelings of faith have altered lately because I've had the sense that through fear, I might take back my self-will, that I might, through fear, think I have to be in control of this situation. If you feel that you are being attacked, if you are under threat, it seems obvious, rational, sensible to take back control. But the sensation of faith, allowing Christ in his submolecular potency, right down to the granular, right out into the cosmological, to order all things. For
wow,
we are dealing with the King of Eternity. And
that was, that was sovereignty being described down to the molecules, out to the universe.
This is something I never understood before I was a Christian, that you are stepping out of the cubic reality afforded to you by materialism and rationalism, and into a transcendent realm where you are given grace, where once I have accepted wow, sin and surrendered and allowed him to carry me, I'm granted a new freedom. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I don't belong to myself anymore.
Dude's talking like a Christian. What would be the best thing that he could do right now? It's the best thing that you can do. Dad, son, mom, daughter. Whether you are a new convert like Russell Brand appears to be, or you've been walking with the Lord for decades, you must be a member of a healthy local church. It is assumed in the New Testament you will not grow in spiritual maturity at the same pace as you will by becoming a serving member of a local church. It is your safe place. It is the place where your new family hangs out. If you are not a member of a Bible-teaching local church, then you walk in danger all the way. Wretched.org/gentlemen to hear the other 6 lectures. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.